to the Berkman Audio Fishbowl from the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University. Each week, we feature conversations with leading cyber scholars, entrepreneurs, activists, and policymakers as they explore the bleeding edge of the internet and technology, democracy, law, and society. For more information on the Berkman Center and for more programs like this, visit cyber.law.harvard.edu.
Thank you very much, Victoria, for your introduction. It is my great pleasure to present you today a working progress report and presentation on the project I've been working on since last September 2007. The name of the project is Copyright for Librarians, a distance learning course. And I will present you the project's methodology, who are the participants, who are the stakeholders, how we defined the requirement of the project, how we designed that course, and the various steps. So the project, Copyright for Librarians, has been proposed to the Berkman Center by EIFL. EIFL stands for Electronic Information for Libraries. It is a consortium of librarians in 50 countries, which was created by OSI, I think 8 years ago, first in Middle and Central Europe, and then former USSR countries, and now it has been spread out to Africa, the Middle East, and Central Asia. And the goal of EIFL is to provide wider access to knowledge through libraries in these developing and transition countries. One of the main action of EIFL is to negotiate licenses, group licenses for all these libraries with the various publishers and providers of electronic resources databases. And EIFL also has a copyright program. As the manager of EIFL IP program is Teresa Hackett, and she's very active at WIPO, promoting wider exceptions and limitations to copyright for libraries. And so Berkman has been working on this project for almost a year. The principal investigator of the project is Terry Fisher, faculty director, and I've been coordinating the project with a large team of research assistants and EIFL since then. We hope to deliver the final version of the project in a little bit less than a month. So I'm really looking forward to your possible comments on the content, on the methodology, so that we can hopefully deliver a course to librarians which will be useful and fun to follow. So the goal of the project are plural. The first aim is to develop a greater understanding of copyright by librarian, especially in transition and developing countries. We also hope to support librarians' mission and participation to the movement of access to knowledge. And we also hope to help them to answer practical questions they meet during their day-to-day work when distributing, collecting, and providing access to copyrighted and out of copyright works. And another goal in the long term would be to hopefully empower some members of this community of librarians from the South to maybe advise their government and other public policy makers at the national and the international level towards balanced copyright law. So we have several stakeholders in the landscape of this project. So I presented you the point of view of Eiffel. So there are librarians working in transition and developing countries. I met with them twice last year at Eiffel General Assembly and Eiffel IP Conference. And some of them don't have an acquisition budget for this year. So their concern can be very different from the librarians that I meet here at Harvard, as far as budget questions are concerned. However, the copyright questions are the same. Basically, librarians need to know what they can do and what they are not supposed to do. Another stakeholder in the landscape of the project is the group of the publishers who are selling books and access to electronic resources to libraries. And I would like to read you a quote from a representative from the Recording Industry Association of America, who commented on a report of the latest Eiffel conference, where the result of a WIPO study led by Kenneth Cruz on exceptions and limitations for libraries were presented. And so I will read you the quotes by this representative from the Recording Industry Association of America. Come on, are we really supposed to believe that the greatest problem affecting the creative community and societies is lack of access to copyright materials due to overly extensive copyright protection? And the conclusion of this representative of copyright holders is that the biggest problem is not access, but it would rather be, the solution would rather be easy and non-theoretical and act strong and effective copyright legislation and ensure that it is enforced so that creators can earn a living from creating new work. And there is really no consensus, obviously, on copyright matters between publishers and librarians. And a comment to this remark by Teresa Hackett, working for Eiffel, is that actually in the United States and in many Western countries, there are provisions in copyright legislations to allow libraries to make, under certain conditions, copies of copyrighted works for preservation purposes, or to allow their patrons to make copies for research and study purposes. However, in I think more than 20 countries in the world, there are no such exceptions, while they are considered as normal in the industrialized world. So here is one first difference between point of views. One other actor which I would like to present in the landscape of the project is Google and the initiative Google Books. Google Books sent representatives to Eiffel conferences, and it looks really great because they propose to digitize the collections of the libraries for free. So it looks like a great deal. However, when an institution with a general counsel office and many copyright lawyers and copyright skills person working at its library reads the recent settlement between Google and the American Association of Publishers regarding putting at disposal of out-of-print books, the reaction of this institution, Harvard, is no, Harvard is not ready to go into that program because of too many potential limitations on access and use of the books by members of the education community and patrons of the library. So Harvard, as of last month, would not allow its in copyright holdings to be scanned by Google to participate to the program. So this is in the middle of this landscape between publishers and right holders' concerns and Google scanning offers that we are developing this project of a distance learning course on copyright for librarians. So the first step has been last year, I think, to interview our targeted audience, the librarians, in order to define their needs and their interests. So we quickly drafted a preliminary table of content of the course. And the goal was to have a mix between public policy concerns, which are really interesting but not directly applicable by every librarian in their day-to-day work, and answer to copyright questions that they face. For instance, can I send an electronic version of a document to another library for the interlibrary loan? Do I have an exception under my copyright legislation to perform that act, or am I supposed to negotiate a license? Am I supposed to explain to the patrons that they are not supposed to redistribute this copy? So all these kinds of questions between their main mission, which is providing access to knowledge and providing content, and their legitimate concern to avoid liability and to not transform themselves into copyright lawyers. So one interesting aspect of the project is that it has been designed to be a self-learning resource. Once we will deliver the project, it will be implemented and run by the first class of Eiffel librarians, but we don't have yet implementation plans for the tutoring, for the mentoring, for the evaluation. And this can be acceptable for some librarians, even if for some others it was difficult to have them accept that when they will follow the course, they will not receive a yes or no definitive answer to all their questions. However, the no-go on a course without mentoring is the lack of diploma or certificate or assessment of some kind. So this is one very important finding of the questionnaire. It is that librarians are not ready to invest time and study copyrights for a long time only because it's a very interesting topic and it will be fun and useful to learn about that. They also would like to be rewarded and to have a certificate of completion, if not a degree. Another concern when designing this course was that our targeted audience gather librarians from 50 countries and potentially from more countries. And obviously, in one year and a few months, it was not possible to write with a great level of details a course on copyright legislations for all these countries. So the methodological approach which was chosen at the beginning of the project was to externalize the comparative legal research and actually ask the librarians which will follow the course to perform the research themselves. So basically, we will provide the international framework and explain how copyright law works in general, what are the main trends, and the librarian from Albania, Uzbekistan, Uganda will then browse her own copyright legislation. And for instance, when will be discussed the question of whether professors have an exception, enjoy an exception to exclusive rights to perform certain acts on copyrighted material, they will have a look at their legislation because they are the one who are supposed to know their legislation much better than us. So we hope to provide a tool to empower them to answer themselves to their questions rather than providing yes or no answers, which would be very difficult, if not impossible. The distance learning aspect is being supported by several platforms. The course, the textbook, will be hosted on RISE Connections, which is a platform for open education resources. So it means that the whole course material will be available under a Creative Commons attribution license so that everybody will be able to copy, redistribute, translate, remix, and update the course. Also, because we would like to have some community building and interaction and participation between these librarians, because it can be pretty boring and discouraging to follow a distance learning course on copyright alone at home after a week of work. So we will use H2O Wartisery, which is a tool which has been developed at the Berkman Center a while ago. It acts as an educational forum. So basically, it replaces the professor or the teaching assistant task to send questions and assignments to the students which are enrolled in a specific class. So they will receive questions by email with a deadline. they will have to answer to this question. It will be organized under a tree format on the rotisserie, and the week after they will be prompted with another email together with a deadline to comment upon the answers of their peer. So hopefully we can motivate some group discussion and also some peer review of the answers. So the material will consist of a textbook, which is rather usual for a course. Also, we will have, as I mentioned, assignments, which can be questions on copyright law, practical questions. So can you do this? Can you do that? Policy discussion. Do you think it is fair to have such and such provision? And we will also have practical projects to be led by the librarians. So for instance, in almost every countries outside the United States, there is currently such a thing which is called the Public Domain Day, which is every January the 1st. Some works fall into the public domain because their author is dead since more than 70 years or sometimes other term durations, depending on the country. And therefore, we were one of the assignments, after having studied the very complex situation to calculate copyright protection duration and copyright terms in the various countries, because it varies greatly between types of work and publication years, etc. We will propose the librarians to perform a search in their collection and to share with their peers and with their national citizens and with the rest of the world a list of works which will be in the public domain as of next January the 1st. One aspect also of the course is that we provide a few case studies, and for instance, we are describing the various ways for librarians to support an open access policy, for instance, as it is being currently implemented at Harvard Faculty of Art and Science and also at the law school. So we hope to have a mix between policy making questions, practical assignments, and concrete questions. Last April, we gathered over 30 experts in copyright, in libraries, in distance learning, in open education, in order to review a draft of the course. So there was a detailed outline. There was also a presentation of the methodology of the interaction, the questions and answer rounds. There was also a couple of case studies. And we asked these experts who came here during 2 days to assess the prototype and to help us to further develop it. And so the main outcome of this workshop was that the course should support the specific identity of librarians and also archivists and respect their mission, support their goal, which is providing access to knowledge and preserve works and documents. It was also confirmed that it was very important to provide a balance between policy advocacy, trying to turn some of these librarians into policy advocates, and help the vast majority of librarians to answer to practical questions by providing them a useful training. We also had, I think for me it was the greatest outcome of this workshop. I had drafted a case study about a professor named Angela, who is designing a course pack. So she's gathering all sorts of material. She's making photocopies of out-of-print scores, which have a different treatment under copyright. And so I tried in this case study to gather all the possible situations that a professor and a librarian may face, which involve copyright. And I thought it was really artificial, but actually it has been evaluated by the librarians which attended the meeting as rather comprehensive. However, it was evaluated by the copyright law professors as a bit overwhelming. So it was suggested actually to cut this case study into pieces, and each bit of that story of a professor building a course pack with a librarian advising on how to gather material, how this material can be made available to the students offline, online, etc. So to cut this overwhelming case, gathering all possible copyright situations, into a story which would act as a teaser, as an introduction at the beginning of each module. So the course has 7 modules, from the definition of what is a work, what are the various rights under copyright, how it is possible to manage rights, which are the various requirements for copyright licenses, are there alternatives at all to the traditional way to manage copyright, like open access, the open access movement, the Creative Commons licenses. So we are introducing each of the module by a dialogue between the librarian and the professor. And so after some testing and some feedback by librarians, after reading this short story, they feel like reading the whole module, and which is a relief, because our main concern was to provide a resource that they will want to follow, that they will want to read, not something that they will print or read the first module and then stop and don't have any discussion with their colleagues. Also, the international law approach was confirmed by the experts, so we were also relieved. It is totally possible to ask the librarians to perform themselves the research in their national country. So during the summer, we developed a website and guidelines in order to explain these librarians how they could follow the course. And in September, in October, 20 librarians tested the first modules of the course. So the very good news is that they liked the content, they enjoyed the material. The only difficulties which we met, besides the legal vocabulary and also the English language, was computer literacy. We had tested everything with before running the test, except one little thing which almost made the testing impossible. I mean, time zone. When you register in the registry, you're asked to enter your name, your country, your password, everything, and also in order to receive the questions by email and to receive the deadline by email, you're prompted to enter your time zone. So when the course will be running for real, librarians will have 1 or 2 weeks in order to perform the assignment. But during the testing, they had 3 hours. And a few minutes before receiving, or should I say not receiving, the email with our own question, we noticed that none of the librarians had changed the default setting of the time zone information in the registration form, so everybody was on New York time while they were in Chicago. So it was very useful to do this testing, because now we know that everything has to be very clear in the guidelines, especially questions which are not related to copyright. So now we are in the final process of final drafting and review of the material, and we are looking forward to community building and participation by many librarians. When we consulted librarians, So we faced a great deal of interest, and really not only in transition and developing countries. Also, every time I make presentations, I present a project in Boston, in the United States, librarians come and say, "Oh, I want to help. I would like to volunteer, or I would like to follow the course. It looks to be fun. I want to discuss with these librarians. Hopefully it will be helpful to compare the provisions." And one of my expectations is that in the long run, it will also provide a repository of comparative law knowledge. And what we are currently wondering is how to ensure the sustainability and the maintenance of the project, and how this project, so which will be delivered to the librarian community under a Creative Commons attribution license, can be sustainable, which tasks can be decentralized, which task would require further coordination and our help. In the few weeks, there is a hackathon from Eiffel to coordinate the next step of the implementation of the project. So your feedback and the project methodology will be very welcome. Thank you.
Of sustainability and the peer production for legal knowledge. Is this something where you expect the librarians themselves to be able to do it? Would it be lawyers who have an interest in this subject that would play an active role in that? I mean, how capable are non-legally trained individuals going forward being able to either add to it new jurisdictions that aren't included or updating existing material in the...
So my initial idea was that librarians would perform the research, but that indeed there should be some evaluation and quality control and editing of this peer-produced material by people with a legal training. So several members of the experts board, which participated to the workshop, showed interest into reviewing this material, which will be gathered in the rotisserie. And there is also a very useful feature of connections. So the open education resource, which is called the Lensing feature, which allows some sort of peer review process. So I don't know if your question was suggesting that that people with a copyright training should review the knowledge produced by librarians from the various countries. So if it was that, my answer would be yes, I think.
So that's an issue that we face with the Social Media Law Project, and it seems very useful to have librarians at least identify the sources of these statutes. I mean, that's a function that they do in their everyday work. But then interpreting those statutes and applying it to everyday questions and activities, that's much more challenging. And so I see them having a role, at least in the initial identification stage of source material, but then the actual review and interpretation is much more challenging, and I'm very interested in, as you work through that, how you solve that, what we may be able to learn for the materials that we have.
Yes, indeed, the interpretation is crucial, and we hope to teach them, if not to interpret every aspect of their copyright law, that at least several interpretation and implementation of international copyright law are possible, from the most flexible to the most conservative, that there are green light and red lights and gray zone where we don't really know whether a use can fall under fair use in the US or not. However, there's a limit inherent to our project, which we already discussed several times. It is our international dimension. It would be rather easy to find volunteers and copyright experts knowledgeable in US copyright law in maybe half of the industrialized, developed countries too. However, in these countries, there are not many copyright experts, and the network is to be built. And it could be that there are very few other copyright law resources in those countries, and that some countries actually rely on the course to be delivered to update their training on copyright in library schools. So hopefully local law schools would be able to provide some support, but there's way less potential free labor than here in the north.
Just to add to this point, to give a tip, something you might think about in terms of finding legal expertise in all these countries that are sort of off the beaten path. It's not a foolproof answer, but we have a great resource. The extent the project's connected to Harvard still, the LLM program and the SJD program here at Harvard Law School, there's an amazing array of lawyers and coming from different countries, and they're really helpful, really smart, and they've got connections. So
That's right.
A good place to sort of tap into.
Thank you. That's,
I can help you with that.
That's a great idea.
Follow-up point. So in one way, it's like, how I think about a lot of developed countries is that the law plays a very different role in society than here in the United States, for instance, where the law is really significantly shaping practices, I think, in libraries. So do you have an idea to what extent these local laws are, in fact, shaping practices in libraries? So, and if they are not, why does it make sense to look at copyright law? Why doesn't it more sense to look at practices that are defendable towards the industry? So could you say something about this, basically?
Yes, this is something which I didn't have time to present today, but that we discussed extensively during the workshop. Mm-hmm. There was a presentation by Ayo Kusamoto, who is an attorney in Nigeria. He's also active in Creative Commons Nigeria, and he's an advisor of One Laptop Per Child. And he explained us the situation of the law and the impact of the law, which is, as you said, really less strong and totally different than here. And our last module, so, is named Copyright Enforcement. And so the story starts with Angela, the professor, receiving a cease and desist letter. So she runs to discuss with Nadia, the librarian, what can I do? What should I do? And then they will discuss and advise and etc. And the goal of this last module is to put the knowledge into perspective and find acceptable solutions based on best practices, which are common, which will not hopefully raise liability issues for librarians, because indeed, sometimes, even in some countries, there's no copyright law at all. There's no exception for libraries, and it's not the number one problem of law, copyright, and also copyright for libraries is not the main concern in intellectual property legislation.
To follow the same question, Vitaly ascribed to this question. Also, there is the difference between not only between the how law is respected in these countries, but also the difference between the roles or the role that the library plays there. I mean, also, to me, it was quite striking how important the institution of library is in this country. In Poland, it's just, a place where you can get some books. Quite, old books, generally, right? And you don't really get access to much audiovisual content there, right? Because it's predominantly because it's under-subsidized. So I imagine what the situation must be in places like Albania or Kazakhstan. So my question is, to what extent librarians are the right target group for this, considering that the procedure of the process of counterfeit producing counterfeited
producing what, sorry?
Well, the fake content, right? Which encroaches on the copyright laws in these countries deals with mainly with the audiovisual media, right? Or audiovisual content. So to what extent librarians are the right target group, considering that it's more about audiovisual
media? Well, the goal of librarians is not to fight piracy. So we will explain, we explain in the course what is copyright infringement, because that's part of a copyright training. However, we put an emphasis on like active and positive solution. Mm-hmm. For instance, how to locate material which they can collect, reuse, redistribute without having to ask permission or without having to pay a fee. And it is first public domain material, second exceptions and limitations to copyright, and third open access material.
Do you target the main libraries in these countries, or how do you choose the librarians?
Well, we don't really choose as the librarians. So the first circle of the audience are librarians who are part of IFOL, so they are already selected, we do not choose, but then the resource will be out there, and any group of librarians can take the resource and use the website, use the registry, and open their own discussion session. So I think that the registry has been tested and that it can work with several hundreds of participants. I would personally not advise to have such a large class, but so the funding is for IFOL, but then IFOL does not claim exclusive ownership on the material, neither does Berkman, and maybe other communities and librarians will take the material and disregard what's too library specific and replace it with other provisions. Yes.
How are you getting the word out to sort of all these remote, potentially very remote parts of the world, and in language issues? And sort of, is there like a promotional or promotional might not be the right word, but how are you spreading the word or getting?
This is the IFOL network. So I've met them twice, and it's a vibrant community. They are already organized, they are out there, and we rely on the network and the work that has been done by the small team of IFOL.net to build a community. And indeed, there are language issue, and I thought that my English was not too sophisticated, but for some people it is. So maybe some more user-friendly version will be produced, I don't know. We could also consider, so this was one very strong point by Terry Fisher, have several levels of the course, one short and one longer with hyperlinked development, and also several librarians, so of IFOL network, whose English is excellent, may volunteer to translate the materials in their own language so that their colleagues who are less fluent in English may participate. So that's also the hope that this resource can be translated. And also the answers will have to be to be edited in order to also harmonize the English if they were to be reviewed and integrated in a subsequent augmented version of the course next year.
So Melanie, I gathered from your answer to one of the previous questions that there's no international agreement similar to like the Berne Convention that provides for additional rights to libraries throughout the world. The U.S. has separate provision under the Copyright Act that provides additional rights to libraries. That isn't the case in other countries. Is there, that's an assumption on my part. Is there an international framework for providing additional rights or defenses for libraries under each country's Copyright Act? Is there an advocacy opportunity there through a project like this to identify which countries perhaps could take on changes in their law that would begin to make this a consistent right recognized throughout the world?
Yes, that's one of the major hopes of the project. And actually, there is such a framework, not in the law, not in the international law, but in a WIPO study, which was drafted by Kenneth Cruz, who is part of who participated to the workshop and made a presentation. It is out since I think 2 months, and it's an exhaustive report on the status of exceptions and limitations to exclusive rights for libraries in all the WIPO countries. So
is that just is that advisory only at this point?
It's a report. So it states which country have an exception, which country do not have an exception, and I'm trying to. It's not working. To show you this study. So there are 20 countries who do not have any exceptions for libraries. And there is indeed a coalition at WIPO where institutions like Eiffel, EBLIDA, IFLA participate and propose to integrate within the international treaties exceptions for libraries, and hopefully this course will enhance the participation to this movement by several librarians who will have followed the course. So Teresa Hackett was saying that they don't need an army of activists, but at least a couple. And so, for instance, there was a presentation at Eiffel IP conference by the representative of Moldavia, and she proposed an amendment to her local copyright law in order to introduce an exception which would be clear and which would so be implemented in the copyright law. And it was so nice because when she was explaining her meeting with the Copyright Office, her meeting with the Minister of Culture, meeting with the various stakeholders, she said, "Oh, it was so long. It took us 3 months to agree on an amendment." And everybody laughed in the room because 3 months, it's
pretty quick.
It's so quick and efficient. So this is really... This is a best practice that could, for instance, be shared in the forum. So she could explain the outcome of her endeavors, what succeeded, which problem she faced, and hopefully help other librarians in other countries to do the same. So the goal is not as much to have the broadest exception possible, but to have at least a clear understanding of what's possible, because the biggest impediment to librarians' activities is uncertainty. So as you know, when people don't know how to answer to a copyright question and then they do nothing, this is the biggest chilling effect.
I'm trying to think about examples. And since this is such a broad endeavor,
yes,
covering so many different situations that could arise in all of these countries, if you think about the classic texts in each country, people who want to use them will assume that the classic texts are free from copyright. So perhaps a religious text or some historical text or a Greek or Roman. But the publishers do not imagine that they are free from copyright. And the publishers want to make money by publishing them and by getting royalties from them. So this would seem to me a thorny area, that somebody would come into a library and assume that they could freely quote or freely reproduce a classic text from their country or from some world literature, and yet they're not free to do that. So this would seem to be one of the pivotal points that would apply to all these different countries, and how to explain that and how to,
yes,
make people understand.
Yes,
that it's not free from copyright.
Yeah, so privatization of the public domain,
right,
is a big concern. It's indeed an issue, and so this is something that we try to describe in the course, but obviously we cannot describe with accuracy every possible situation. Just raise awareness on that, on this this possibility that a work can be in the public domain, but that other access conditions may be applicable to that work, and we hope that when they will have the opportunity to negotiate contracts, they will have the reflex to think about this this possible impediments. Indeed. So it's, of course, we will not solve every problem, we will not answer all questions, but we really hope at least to raise awareness so that everybody who's taking the course knows what are the risks, and on the other hand, what situations are not risky, that it's okay, you can let your patrons do photocopies on the site and you don't have to monitor if they what they photocopy for instance. So between awareness raising and against a chilling effect, hopefully. Well, we indeed we have to be modest because the endeavor is so broad.
Thank you.